20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sunday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Mark Echo. I'm joined by Gage Bridgeford, and we're getting ready for Sunday night football between the Border War of the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, a game that by the time the Packers take the field tonight, Gage, they may know, depending what happens in with the Cowboys and Cardinals, that if they win, they wrap up the number one seed in the NFC. So interesting day of football ahead of us, and capped off by the Packers taking on the Vikings tonight. A little bit of a revenge game as well for the Packers, since the Vikings beat them earlier this year in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was on the Wednesday edition of the pod earlier this week with Sarah, and we were kind of looking ahead at this game and kind of discussing some different things. One of the listener questions we got was, does Green Bay clinch the number one seed this week, or do they shoot themselves in the foot? And at the time, my reply was, I mean, Green Bay, the only way they can clinch the number one seed without multiple teams, without them tying and multiple teams losing, is if they win and Dallas loses, which that's possible. But at the same time, Arizona's been in a bit of a tailspin lately, so I'm not counting on that. And then, like, Green Bay controls their destiny. They and the Chiefs are the only two teams in either conference that 100% control their seeding destiny. Win out, you get the one seed. And Green Bay, when I recorded on Tuesday, was around a minus 280 favored by about 6.5 to 7, depending on what sports book you were looking at. And then yesterday morning, we got the news that Kirk Cousins had tested positive for COVID-19, was symptomatic, and was out for tonight's game. And then now Green Bay is a minus 725. Favorite, depending on what sports book you're looking at. They're now favored by 12.5 to 13. The total also dropped from, it opened at 47.5, bounced up to 48.5 very briefly, and then has now been bet all the way down to right around 42.5, pretty much across the board here. So that's a 6-point drop there. Green Bay's a 7-point favorite in the first half. It's a just huge amount of movement with the absence of Kirk Cousins. And honestly, I don't know if it should have been that much of a movement, just because the Vikings just a couple weeks, or what was it, last week against the Rams, where Kirk Cousins only had like 80. No, it was against the Bears. Kirk Cousins had like 80 passing yards, and they won by 8 points because they could just run the ball all they wanted. And Green Bay has not stopped the run at all in the last 2 weeks. So I don't know where, like, and Dalvin Cook's healthy and in the active lineup. I don't know what they're thinking Green Bay's going to do here. Green Bay's dealing with injuries up front. They're not going to just magically be able to stop the run, are they?
Yes, they are. Because when you know, if a team's one-handed, you should be able to stop it. I mean,
keyword should.
Again, I mean, I don't want to presume anything, but if I'm Joe Barry, Dalvin Cook's not beating me today. I'm going to do everything I can to take Dalvin. Now, if Sean Mannion and whoever else beats me, well, I take my hat off to him and say, great game, Sean Mannion. But no, I can't let Dalvin Cook, whoever, and unless you say Dalvin Cook's healthy, well, he did have COVID. Your first game back after COVID, is he 100%? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know how sick he was. I don't know what his symptoms were. But still, I'm respecting Dalvin Cook and the Viking running game, but I'm doing all I can, whether it's putting extra guys in the butt, whatever I have to do. I'm not letting Dalvin Cook go crazy, because that's the only possible way for me to. I don't think Sean Mannion, who also had COVID last week, and I don't believe he practiced all week. He didn't get activated until Friday when they found out Cousins had COVID. So he didn't even take a snap. He's really not ready to play, Sean Mannion. He hasn't practiced in I don't know how long. So from the quarterback standpoint, the Vikings are really in trouble. Now, like I said, Dalvin Cook is so you really just have to stop Dalvin Cook and do whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes. If you have to, whatever you have to do to stop Dalvin Cook. So I think that's obviously why the line went up and the over-under came down. Now, again, if they lose to Dalvin Cook, shame on them. Shame on the Packers, and shame on Joe Barry for not coming up with a better scheme that stops them.
I mean, that's my main thing here is Green Bay has been a bit suspect in recent weeks after that strong stretch in the middle of the year. They have been playing soft coverage and giving up a lot of space to opposing wide receivers. And I have confidence in Barry's ability to make that adjustment for Matt LaFleur to go to him and say, hey, this is what we need to be doing here. We need to play tight defense. We need to get up on these. We need to get up on the wide receivers, especially with Adam Thielen out for the year. That's a huge boost to Green Bay's chances. and you need to go and you need to make a concerted effort to stop the run, load the box. I just don't know that they're going to do that, because I've seen too many instances in the last several years in terms of Green Bay defense where they just don't do the simple thing that everybody at home sitting on their couch is like, hey, this is all you got to do. This is all they can do, is they can run the ball on you. Why do they have to run the ball? Because they're starting a backup quarterback who, as you pointed out, has not gotten a lot of snaps, has just got activated 2 days ago, I'm not confident in them stopping the run, because I can't say that, yep, they're going to go out and they're going to load the box and say, all right, good luck, Dalvin, or good luck, Sean Mannion. If you beat us, hat tip to you.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't know that they're going to do that, because too often I think NFL coaches, both coordinators, head coaches, whoever, I think they get too cute sometimes and they don't do the simple thing. And I'm like, what am I not getting? What am I not getting that you're not doing the simple thing that all of us can see is what you have to do?
Yeah, I hope you may be right. I hope you're not, because today's not a day to be cute. Today's a day to do what you got to do and win the game. And especially if Arizona can pull off the upset of Dallas, which I'm with you. I think Dallas wins that game. Dallas is playing very well right now. The Cardinals, like as you said, have struggled of late. But it wouldn't be a total shocker. I mean, Arizona, you know, Dallas has thrown in a couple clunkers this year. They lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Raiders. And Arizona has, you know, going back a month or two, has played very well. So it's in both of their DNAs that the Cardinals could be. So especially if the Cardinals and the Packers will know that game will be over, but before the Packers kick off, they'll know. And if the number one seed is there for the taking and they let Dalvin Cook run wild, well, you know, that's, then they got nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah. I think the Green Bay should win this game, especially against secondary for the Vikings that I don't think is great. And Cam Dantzler, who's been one of their better corners this year, is doubtful to play. Did not practice on Thursday or Friday that's with a calf injury, which we know how soft tissue injuries work. Mm-hmm. When they pop up later in the week, they're generally a little bit harder to come back from. Harrison Smith should be his full participant. He's off the injury report. Chaz Surratt, Tyler Conklin, both questionable. Michael Pierce, defensive tackle, who popped up with a non-COVID illness on Friday. So it'll be interesting to see his status. I assume he's going to try to play, but we'll have to wait and see there. But the Viking secondary isn't anything overwhelmingly great. But as we saw in the first matchup, Green Bay could have had a great matchup in the running game despite not having Aaron Jones, and they didn't really want to exploit it. And we heard from Aaron Rodgers this week on the Pat McAfee show say that he wants to be more cutthroat and more step on the throats of their opponents, as they've let the Ravens and the Browns come back into games in the last 2 weeks. And Rodgers went on the show and more or less said, like, hey, let's go and end it. Let's not wait around. Let's not play with play with our food. Let's go for the kill shot here. And I think that this is a secondary. Green Bay can do that. And minus Mercedes Lewis, which as of recording this, we don't know if he's going to be activated for this game or not. Rodgers has pretty much his full assortment of weapons. MBS is here. Obviously, Cobb's still out with his injury, but otherwise he's got MBS. He's got Lazard. He's got Devontae. He's got Aaron Jones. He's got AJ Dillon. He's got more than enough weapons here to go out and perform. Plus, with Everson Griffin out, the Vikings don't have nearly as fierce of a pass rush as they would like to. Green Bay can put up points here. My only worry for this game is on the other side of the ball, and just is Green Bay going to do the smart thing, load the box, and say, we're not going to let Dalvin Cook beat us?
Yeah, that's obviously the question of the day. And, you know, they did kind of go for the kill last week, but a rare drop by Devontae Adams, and that game isn't nearly as my blood pressure doesn't spike during that game if Devontae Adams makes a catch that he usually makes 98 times out of 100. That's, you know, I don't know if he would have scored, but it would have been a big gainer. They would have been in Brown's territory. I'm going back to late in the game when the Packers had the ball, was third and whatever. And Rodgers.
But when I'm saying go for the kill shot, I'm saying don't let the Browns start coming back in the game in the first place. Don't let the Ravens start coming back in the game in the first place. Keep the foot on the pedal. Don't just try and throttle back up when, oh, they're trying to make a game out of it. Let's go ahead and try and throttle up again. It's when you're rolling and you're clicking, just stick to what's working. Stop trying to change it and be like, okay, well, we got a good enough lead. Let's go ahead and just play it conservative. Let's come out and go out of here with a win. Just,
well, no, I'm agreeing with you, but they didn't go. That wasn't a conservative play throwing deep.
That one, but everything that led up to that is more what I'm getting at. Like, because there was a few drives where they didn't do hardly anything in the second half.
Well, none, they didn't do anything. After they had a nice drive to open.
To open.
They got settled for a field goal. goal. And then the three drives after that, one was the one they did get conservative. I think that's because Josh Niemann was out of the game on that drive. And that was a bad day. They were Aaron Jones gained 7 yards on first down. It's second and three, and they didn't pick it up. They ran it the next two times, and Jones got stuffed. Actually, it was a very good play by the Browns that snuffed out that little toss play that normally works and has worked most of the season. I mean, it was third and two. They only needed 2 yards. I guess they could have thrown there, but they chose to do that. So they were conservative there. But then the other drive, Adams actually dropped two balls on that drive. One, I'll give Denzel Ward a little bit of credit for breaking up the one. But if you're the best wide receiver in football and want to get paid like the best wide receiver in football, you kind of got to make that catch too.
Yeah, so, I agree. He should have caught that ball. After the field goal drive, three plays, -1 yard.
What I was that was the reverse that lost nine, right?
Yes, that was it. Yep, yeah. That was the reverse. So -1 yard and a punt, three plays, 7 yards, punt, and then five plays, 17 yards, punt. And then obviously that was the drive where Devontae dropped the ball. But it's just you go back to the week before against Baltimore, and Green Bay again just didn't really put their foot down until late in the game, until like the game was over, and they nearly got beat at the end. Like in the second half, they scored 17 points in the second half. Great. But they got outscored down the stretch of the game, where Baltimore scored two touchdowns in the final 7 minutes of the game or so. And you didn't do anything. You had a 3-play -9-yard drive. And then after that, the other one you'd had was a 5-play 18-yard drive where you got a field goal because the Ravens got aggressive and tried to go for it. I'm nervous about this Green Bay team not wanting to throttle up at all times. And I don't know what the reason is. And there's no way for me to ask Matt LaFleur and say, hey, is there a reason why you guys don't try and just score as much as you can? And
well, they did, but they against not ball, but Cleveland, they did. That was a pass that Adams catches.
My focus isn't on that. My focus is on the stuff.
Which series are you focused on?
The two drives before that, where they had
Niemann was out of the game. They ran a toss play that is probably 80% success, and the Cleveland guy made a good play. Sometimes you have to say the defense makes a good play.
I agree. With that, but what about the other two plays there that you gained back your 9 yards on two more plays.
That was a terrible. I didn't like the reverse at all, but that's not conservative running a reverse. That's trying to make a big play too. Just St. Brown to me is I've never been a St. Brown fan. I don't think he's very good. If that's MVS, maybe it goes. I don't know, but
I think maybe I, if you I, run I that, like I mean, if you're going to try and do that with Niemann out of the game, why wouldn't you try and run that end around the opposite direction? Is probably well,
Niemann,
what the
no, Niemann was in the game for the.
I thought you said that he was out of the game for that drive.
He was out of the game when Jones gained 7 yards.
Okay,
Jones gained one yard, gotcha. And then they did the toss play. They ran the ball three times with Niemann out of the game, I guess, because they didn't want to have Ben Braden in pass protection. I'm assuming no one has come out and said that, but it makes sense that they wanted to run three times without their left tackle. And so normally Aaron Jones picks that up. So it's not like they weren't taking a knee. I mean they were trying to do things. It just didn't work. Like I said, in the past, Adams, if he catches that, we're not even having this conversation because they would have scored again and his final score would have been, 31 to whatever, but I'm more concerned that the defense didn't, let Baltimore go down the field and score at will and let Cleveland almost. Although I will say this about the defense against Cleveland. If you tell me they're going to get 5 sacks and 4 interceptions every week, I don't care how many yards they give up.
Yeah, I know you and I talked about this on our recap pod last week where there's been no team since the year 2000, since I think it was 2000 or 2001 that had ever lost a game where they had 5 sacks. 5 or more sacks and 4 or more interceptions. That had never happened before, right. So that didn't change. But let's go ahead and finish wrapping up this
and again,
breakdown
this week,
here.
Going against a Sean Mannion at quarterback. And I'm a little. I thought we were going to see Kellen Mond. To be honest, I thought we might see the rookie. Either one. I expect press get after him. I mean, Sean Mannion will. I'm assuming. I don't know enough about him. I haven't seen him play a whole lot. But you pressure him, he's probably going to throw some bad passes or take some bad sacks. So I could see another. I could hopefully see the defense put up another effort where they get multiple sacks and maybe multiple picks. As long as you keep them, you can't let Cook gain 8 yards on first down and make us, keep the running game in check. Make it 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12.
Yeah, no, that is definitely the way to beat this team, especially when you look at Sean Mannion's athletic scores. Not the most athletic guy. He's got good size. 6'6", 229, 33.5-inch arms. All of those are 74th percentile or higher, including his height, which is 95th percentile. However, hand size, 8th percentile, 9-inch hands, not large.
And for a guy his size, that's very
small. Yeah. 10-yard split on his 40 was 1.87 seconds, which is the 3rd percentile. 40 was a 5.14, that's 4th percentile. So, and he had a 105-inch broad jump, that's 18th percentile. The guy is not explosive. He's not going to beat you with his athleticism. He's not going to get outside the pocket, which is why I love that he's starting for the Vikings with Kenny Clark, who we know that Kenny Clark loves playing against this Vikings front. And so if you are able to force those third and long situations, I think that the edge rushers and Clark can have a very, very good day here. My whole thing is, as you said, don't let Dalvin Cook break off 8 yards on first down. Keep him in third and long, or keep him into passing situations, or not like non-obvious run situations. Because if you can do that, Justin Jefferson cooked Eric Stokes in the first game. There's no way around it. But there's only so much a backup quarterback like Sean Mannion can do when the entire defense and everybody in the building is like, hey, he's got to throw it here. We all know it. He knows that we know it. It's us versus them here. And he's not gonna have time to complete passes down the field just because there just won't be any time to work with. So I think the Green Bay should win this game. I do.
Yeah.
I'm just scared of the run defense being one, because the longer those drives are sustained, the more the offense is off the field and the defense is on the field, and they'll get worn down. And then it'll be similar to what we saw in the previous meeting, where Green Bay's defense just kind of got worn down over the course of the game, and they just couldn't stop Minnesota on that final drive if they tried, because they were too worn out to do anything but just say, well, we're going to try, and you're just going to run it on us, and you'll complete passes and whatever, and that's the ballgame.
Well, hopefully, the turnovers the Packers have generated the last couple of weeks, the D-backs are holding on to the ball better, because if they catch a couple interceptions against Minnesota last time, they win that game. One in particular, we all know, where Savage had one right. I mean, they had to replay it to take it away from him. If he makes that play, if they don't overturn it, and it was probably the right call to overturn it, but if they don't, the Packers win that game. I mean, they're in almost in field goal position after they've had to gain a little bit of yards, but that was the total turning point of that game right there. So they're going to win. I mean, we'll pick our scores, but I'm pretty confident in a Packer win tonight.
Yeah, I'm going Packer win. I think that this is a situation where Green Bay is the better team, and they know that they can control their destiny. And I've noticed over the 3 years that we've had LaFleur, when Rodgers makes a statement in public, such as why aren't we going for kill shots more, they tend to come out a little more. They tend to make those adjustments in the next game. They tend to, like, LaFleur and Rodgers clearly have good feedback and could back and forth and rapport and whatnot. And it seems that when Rodgers says something, LaFleur listens to him, and they try to make those changes the following week. So I think this could be a big Rodgers game, and I wouldn't be mad about it. Granted, the weather's going to be cold, so you do have to factor that in. It's supposed to be one of the 10 coldest games in Lambeau history, I believe I read the other day. And that's definitely not great for the whole like passing aspect of things. The ball is going to be deflated, or ball's going to have the air sucked out of it. The Vikings are going to try and just play the grit grind game and just survive that way. It's supposed to be 8 degrees around kickoff tomorrow.
That's and going down as the game goes, because it's a
yep.
as well. So
it's supposed to be 4 at about 10 p.m. So about 2 hours into the game, it'll be 4, and that's not in factoring in the wind. Although the wind says it's only supposed to be about 5 miles an hour tomorrow, so there won't be a ton of wind to
right, which is cool very off. Important to the passing game. Wind affects it way more than, I mean, cold does too, obviously, but wind really affects it. But the Vikings, even though they're in Minnesota, they're still a dome team, and I don't like a dome team coming outside. Again, Packers need to get on them early, get the lead like they've they've done recently, and I think the Vikings might want to just go home. They're not going to want to play in 4-degree weather.
Well, I mean, the Vikings are playing for their playoff lives here.
Yeah, but a lot of lives end too. I think the Vikings life is going to end.
They do, but I mean, Vikings have been scrappy. I had a debate with somebody on Twitter the other day about this, where it's just they've been a scrappy team against Green Bay. They always give Green Bay their best shot. They're 7-8, so I think if they lose here, I think they're out at this point.
If they lose, they're done.
So this is their last shot.
I mean, even if they win, they're not in.
No, they're not in, but like they at least have life.
Right.
So it'll be
interesting. They have to win them both, and I think either the Eagles or 49ers.
Yeah, they need help.
Somebody else has to lose.
They need, I believe they need 49ers and Eagles both to lose out, and I think they need to win out. That's what it looks like to me from what I'm seeing, and they might need more help.
Well, if that's the case, they could be eliminated by the time the game starts, because if the Eagles beat Washington, which they probably should, then the Vikings could be out when the game starts.
I mean, the 49ers got to play Houston, so.
Right.
So, and even with Trey Lance, that's a more than winnable game for San Francisco. All right, let's go ahead and get into predictions real quick.
Okay, I'm going to go – I don't think it's going to be a total blowout, but I don't think it's going to be a nerve-wracker either. I'm going to go Green Bay 27, Minnesota 14.
All right, so you would have the under hitting barely. It gets close, but it barely hits there. I'm going to go a little more conservative. I think Green Bay wins 24-10. Green Bay has not necessarily been the most high-scoring team all year. They can do that when they want to, but they have rarely wanted to. And even though I think Rodgers could have a big game here, I think that LaFleur could have the like aggressive mentality of trying to put up big plays, trying to put up big points. I just don't know that they're necessarily going to do that yet. I think Green Bay is more than content to go. And also, this would be Green Bay is undefeated at home on the year. They're 7-0 thus far. They hopefully, I believe they'll go 8-0 there. They're the better team. They're the better team. They're one of, if not the best team in the NFL this year. They've been consistent week to week. Outside of week one, this team has been consistent every week. Even with Jordan Love under center, they were consistent and tried to play their brand of football. And if they have Aaron Rodgers, they probably blow the Chiefs out on the road. Instead, you had Jordan Love in his first start, and just it was a recipe for disaster. But I think Green Bay wins this game. I think that they move up and become 13-3 for the 13-3 for the third straight year. Obviously, the chance to go 14-3 the following week. And I think they maintain control of their destiny, because if the Cowboys win and Green Bay loses, Green Bay no longer has control of their destiny in terms of playoff seeding.
No, yeah. So you like the under even more.
I do.
4-10 score, by the way.
I do, because I think Sean Mannion is even worse than we're giving him credit for. I know we're not giving a ton of credit.
Well, I only gave him 14. I didn't give him too many more points, but you took it down.
I think Green Bay is content to win by 14 points. You had him winning by 13, obviously. I think they're content to win by 14. And I think that Green Bay still has some struggles in the red zone. And I think that they can still have a few drives that stall out here and there, either by a drop or Rodgers thinks he's going to get a pass interference call and doesn't get it, or a defense makes a good play or what have you. And I think that's where the slightly lower score comes in. Green Bay still gets a field goal instead of two. Also, with the what I was factoring in there, cold ball, you're not going to be able to kick it as far. So you might have more situations where Green Bay is going for it in areas where they would normally kick a field goal, just to try and preserve Crosby and say, hey, we don't want you kicking this rock tonight. So that's kind of where my lower score came in there. And I mean, same thing goes for Minnesota. They're going to be, I predict they'll be playing from behind. So they'll have to be going for it more and might not be able to score as many touchdowns as they normally would. So go ahead, Mark, let the people know what you're working on, and we will get out of here and let everybody enjoy the rest of their Sunday.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at MarkEckel08 and at PackerReport.com. I'll be writing – I have a story up now about what Gage had mentioned earlier, cold weather games in Lambeau, and there haven't been as many as you might think, and this is going to be one of the coldest. And then, of course, right after the game, I'll have my instant analysis up as quickly as I can when the game ends. It'll be a late night here. That's okay. I don't mind as long as it's a Packers win. I won't mind staying up late and writing a story.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter at GBridgeford NFL, still doing fantasy analysis for Rotoballer and Dynasty Nerds, still answering fantasy football questions. So if you're listening to this early in the morning, I am over on my Twitter answering any and all questions sent my way. You can find my Denver Nuggets work for the DenverStiffs.com over at DenverStiffs.com. But as I always say, all of my work is always put up on my Twitter, so it's the easiest to find all of it there. Mark, glad to have you this week. Happy New Year to everybody listening. I hope everybody was safe on Friday evening and had a good time and made good choices. And I hope that everybody has a good and prosperous year ahead of them. And as we always say here, stay warm, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack, go.